Now, Lord, we just commit this message to you and pray for your help and strength, Lord. We thank you, Lord, there is nothing that can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No amount of trouble, no amount of trials, no amount of difficulty can ever remove the love that you have for us. And Lord, we feel comforted by that today, even through this first experience we've had with Facebook, Lord. It was a little rough starting out. We sense your love for us, Lord. We sense how patient you are with us. And I pray that everyone who's watching would feel that as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. As has already been mentioned, we are in a series. This series was actually scheduled several months ago, a couple of months ago. So it seems like it's amazing because the timing of this is just incredible. And we're talking about the blessed life, how to trust God by giving God charge and giving God first place of all the areas of your life, unlocking the rewards of generous living, even in these difficult times, putting God first in our finances, in our time commitments, in our priorities. As the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you as well. What an amazing moment this is in our culture right now, in our world, for God, you know, for people to say, you know what, maybe it's time that I start looking up and putting God first. Maybe this is the missing piece in my life, that God has been sort of an afterthought. Maybe God's been in the back seat of the car while you drive, but today you're watching and today you're thinking, you know what, maybe it's time I learn how to pray. This message is so appropriate, how to have a blessed life, how to live under the blessing and protection of heaven. How to live under the blessing and protection of heaven. If you have a piece of paper and pencil, I encourage you to write some of these principles down. Here's what we've covered so far. I'm going to go over this very quick because today I want to get to principle number 4, which is the principle of God's multiplication, that God is a multiplying God. In the last couple of weeks, we have covered so far the principle of ownership. We understand from the Bible that God actually is the owner of everything. Sometimes we forget that. We have the mistaken idea that, you know, this is my stuff. I can do what I want. It's my life. You can't tell me what to do. You know, even the Pharisees said this about Jesus. They said, we will not have this man be Lord over us. We're not going to have somebody else who's greater than us or higher than us telling us what to do. Well, guess what? God is the owner of everything. He created this world. He owns everything. He created us from the dust of the ground. The Bible says we were made in his likeness, in his image. The earth is the Lord's and all that it contains. In Psalm 100, it says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So the number one thing you need to start with in terms of getting your life under the blessing and protection of heaven is the idea of ownership. Who really owns your life? And the wonderful and benevolent answer to that question is God does. He created you for himself. He created you to be part of his family. And he created you out of love. God didn't just put us on this earth as an afterthought. He planned all of this. He planned to have a great family of people that were made after the image of his son, Jesus Christ, who the Bible says is the firstborn among many brothers. Can you say amen this morning? So number one, the principle of ownership. Having this simple acknowledgement in your mind, making this shift in your mind that, you know what? God owns my life. God is the Lord. He's the boss. He's the ultimate boss in my marriage. He's the Lord of my job. He's the Lord over my family. And when I put myself under his ownership, I believe I'll be protected. I believe I will be blessed. Amen. So that's the principle of ownership. Number two, the principle of stewardship. Stewardship means that we are managers of the things that we have. So the things that God has blessed us with, our life, our health, our strength, our ability to make a living, our children, we are to manage those things, the Bible says, with faithfulness. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says, of stewards or managers, it is required that we be found faithful. Stewardship requires that we honor the wishes of the person who is our boss, or the person who has engaged us to care for his property. Just like a property manager is responsible to take care of the property that is engaged, or rather that is given to him or given oversight to him by the owner of the property. So stewardship is something that is taught throughout the Bible. And it shows us that we have a responsibility to God to treat the blessings in our life we have with integrity. Our money shouldn't be squandered. Somebody say amen. Our time shouldn't be wasted. Our relationship with people, we should understand there's a higher power up there. God has given us those opportunities. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you're an aunt or an uncle, we have influence. Somebody say, we have influence. We have an opportunity to use what's been given to us. How about your talents? Maybe you can sing, or maybe you can speak publicly, or maybe you're good online. You could really connect with people socially. What if we started to have the attitude that all of these things are really gifts to us that we are to manage, steward under God's blessing and according to his desires? 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. That's 1 Peter 4:10. I'm going to say it again. We don't have it figured out yet on how to put this up on the phone yet, but we'll figure it out. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So we have the principle of ownership, the principle of stewardship, and then the third one was the principle of first things. Everybody say, put first things first. Put first things first. This is a requirement of God. It's an idea that we intentionally dedicate the very first and the very best of what we have to God. And the promise from God's word is that if we put him first in our time, in our finances, in our abilities, and all of these things, that he will bless the rest of our life. God wants to be honored first. He is the greatest. He is the one who created us. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. There is no one like him. There's no one higher than him. There's no one greater than him. There's no one who deserves our life, who deserves our honor more than God does. It just makes sense that we should put God first. Amen? But this requires a shift in our thinking. We have to do this intentionally. It's not automatic. You have to make everyday decisions to say to yourself and say, am I putting God first in what I'm doing right now? My priorities, my children, my job, my thought life, how I spend my free time. We must live in such a way to put God first. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth, all that you own, and all of your increase. Watch this part right here. Give him the first and the best. Give him the first and the best. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your barrels will overflow with new wine. It even says in the Old Testament, very clearly, we don't have time to go through all of it again this morning, but it even says in the Old Testament that the firstborn of the children, the firstborn of the animals, the first fruits of the ground, every first thing needed to be given to God, even symbolically, because you can't obviously offer your children in sacrifice. That would be a really strange religion right there. But in the Old Testament, they were required to literally give a lamb or an animal sacrifice in lieu of their firstborn, in exchange for the life of their firstborn child. Same thing with firstborn animals. They were redeemed by unclean animals, like a donkey had to be redeemed if it was the firstborn by a clean animal, because God always gets the first and the best. Are you with me? Say, the first and the best belongs to God. So now today, We are going to begin on the fourth principle, which is the principle of multiplication. And by the way, we have the book available here at the church. If you want to stop by, if you ordered the book, we have your copy. If you would like to pick up a copy, it's called The Blessed Life with Pastor Robert Morris. And we're studying that book together. And again, this was planned way before this crisis happened. So it's kind of interesting that God is using this moment to talk about living under the blessing and protection of heaven. Very appropriate message. Somebody say amen. All right. So today's principle is the principle of multiplication. Everybody say, God is a multiplying God. God is a multiplying God. Everything that is entrusted to Him gets better. Everything that you place in God's hand, He blesses. He makes it better. Hallelujah. When we hold on to things selfishly or out of fear, we hoard and we withdraw. Remember the man in the Bible who was rebuked by the Lord because he hid his talent in the ground? What was his excuse? I was afraid. I was afraid. You're an unfair master. You reap where you did not sow, and you're a hard man. Some people have an attitude towards God like, God wants to mess up my life. And so I'm not going to give my life to God. He's too hard. It's too difficult to live a Christian life. So I'm going to keep it for myself. But Jesus said, whoever seeks to hold on to their life will lose it. But whoever gives their life to me and for the sake of the gospel will find true life. Hallelujah. It's kind of an upside-down way of thinking compared to the thinking of the world. The world says, hoard. The world says, hold on. The world says, me first. But God says, put me first. God is a multiplying God. And this is interesting. I had this in my notes. The best and the most secure place to invest our money is in the kingdom of God, as well as our time and our talents and everything else, putting God first. But think about the fact that when you invest in the work of God and you give to charities and you give for the cause of the poor, God always blesses you. How many of you have found that to be true? When you put God first in your finances, He can do better with your finances than the stock market. Somebody say amen. What an incredible roller coaster we've been going through in the last couple of weeks with the stock market going up and down and up and down. I think it's lost almost 30% of its value. Trillions of dollars lost in the stock market. But I can tell you, after 50 years of walking with Jesus, every penny, every part of my life, everything that I've ever given to God has been blessed. Everything, every time I've loved somebody in His name, every time I put somebody else first, every time I've asked for forgiveness, every time I've told somebody I love you for Jesus' sake, I've always been blessed. I've always been blessed. God is a multiplying God. Hallelujah. Little becomes much when God is in it. Have you noticed that? When you put things in the hands of God, the broken things become mended. When you give your problem to God, new hope can spring up. Everything you give to God, that complicated situation, that difficult child that you just don't know what else to do, sometimes you got to break that soul tie and say, God, I've tried to raise this child. I've tried my best to reform them, to transform them, to make them do things right the way they should live. But Lord, I can't do a better job than you can. Lord, I give you my children. And that means you don't give up on your children. You don't stop loving them. You don't stop praying for them. But you recognize that God loves them more than you love them. You recognize that He owns their lives as well as your life. Somebody say amen. Little is much when God is in it. The broken is mended. New hope stirs up. Fears are dispelled, and resources are multiplied when they are connected to a supernatural source. 2 weeks ago, we gave we gave the example of the widow woman in Zarephath during the time of a famine in Israel. And everybody was starving. There was no water. There was a drought for 3 years. There was no rain. And in that kind of Aryan climate, it's already a desert in the Middle East. Imagine 3 years of no rain. And this poor woman was going to gather some sticks and start a little fire and cook her last meal. She had just a little bit of meal, a little bit of flour. She's going to, pound that and turn that into a loaf of bread, a little bit of oil that she could use to mix with that. And she and her son were going to have their last meal and then expect to die. But then a prophet of God showed up by the name of Elijah. Somebody say amen. And he comes and he asks this woman the most astonishing thing. He says to her, make me a piece of bread first. And she's like, Elijah, you don't understand. I have just enough for me and my son. We're about to die. We only have one last meal. But the amazing thing about that woman was that she trusted God enough to put the man of God first and to trust God with even the little that she had left. She said, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to honor this man's request. And when she did that, you know the rest of the story, the Lord caused a miracle to happen. The barrel of flour never was depleted. It just kept on going and going. The oil, too, she kept pouring oil, and it kept on pouring. And even though it was a little cruise of oil, it had no end because she suddenly connected from her own resources to a heavenly source. And when you put stuff in God's hands, you are switching the ownership. You're switching the plug, so to speak. You're unplugging from what you can do and the best of your ability to plugging into heaven's resources. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is a God of multiplication. When we put what we have, even in our dire circumstances, we determine in our heart we're going to put God first. Remember how Job was so down and out? They used to say back in the old days, don't ever pray for the patience of Job because you're going to have all the trials of Job. But anyway, Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Everything has turned against you. We're living in some very difficult times right now. We don't know what lies ahead in our country. There could be a time of recession in our finances. We may have to share our resources. We may have a new normal. But Job said something. He said to that woman, he says, you're talking foolishness to his wife. He said, you're talking foolishness. I will not lose my faith in God. Though God slay me, yet will I trust in him. I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. I know that my Redeemer lives. And you may be down to your last dollar. I don't know what your situation is, but take 10 cents of that dollar and give it to God. Continue to be outwardly focused. This is not the time to be self-focused. This is not the time to be consumed with yourself, shutting yourself in your house and watching sappy movies and eating crackers and stuff and just spending all your time like that. Think about somebody else. Think about somebody you can pray for. Think about somebody you can Skype or FaceTime and call on the phone. Even though we can't be together, shaking hands and hugging each other, we can still be in connection through media. Somebody say amen. How about Jesus when the little boy gave his lunch? And, Philip said, Lord, we just have 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is that among so many? 5,000 men and possibly another 5 or 50 or another 10,000 women and children. Some people say there were at least 10,000 people that needed to be fed, which is 5 little pita breads and 2 fish. But anyway, Jesus said, bring them to me. Bring them to me. Put what you have in the master's hands. And notice this. I love this. It says here that Jesus took what was placed in his hands, and he looked up to the Father, and he prayed. First thing he did was he prayed to the Father and gave thanks. Second thing he did, it says 2 distinct things that Jesus did. He blessed what was given to him. He lifted up his hands and prayed thanksgiving for what was given him, and then he blessed what was given him. When you give what you have to Jesus, he blesses it and he multiplies it. As he continued to break the bread and the fish, it just never ended. there were the whole multitude was fed, and there were also 12 baskets left over for the disciples to eat too, one for each disciple. Amen. Not a bad deal, right? God can bless what you put in his hands. And I want to close with this morning. God cannot bless disorder. He can place what you put in his hands, but if your house is out of order, pray. Pray for God to be first in your home. If your finances are out of order, you have run up debt and you've been maxing out your credit cards, pray for God to give you wisdom and how you can start a process of paying off a little bit at a time, getting rid of those smaller credit cards. Have wisdom to understand that you cannot spend more than you make. Somebody say amen. It's a simple but very profound principle. Your outgo cannot overtake your inflow. You can't spend more than you make. And so I encourage you. There are so many books. There's so many things online you could learn about how to manage credit card debt and things like that. But let God be first in your finances. Notice also that God blesses tithes and offerings. In Malachi chapter 3, it says these words, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, says God. But how, you ask? How are we robbing you, God?" And God said, "In tithes and offerings." It's not just tithes that belong to God, but tithe and offerings. Tithes are already what belongs to God. That's the 10%. The first portion is already sacred. So you're giving back to God. When you give your tithe, you're giving back the part that is already consecrated to God. That's already dedicated to him. That we don't own that. That's God's. That's God's portion. But when you give an offering, you're giving above your tithes. Then you have a chance to show your generosity. Then you have a chance to make a sacrifice. You see what I'm saying? So God says you'll be blessed if you give tithe and offering. And we're not saying how you should decide that, but we are saying, and I believe the book points this out also, is that you should be generous. In general, it's important to be generous. The Bible says that the generous soul will prosper. The generous soul will be enriched. So give your tithe and offering to God. We should develop a lifestyle of being generous. And as you do that, you're going to see the blessing of God's multiplication. Maybe years ago you had faith to just give $10 to the church or give $10 to a nonprofit or a charity or something. Now your faith has grown. Now you can give $50 or $100. But you've seen the faithfulness of God. The pastor who wrote our book that we're using right now, Pastor Robert Morris, tells an amazing story. And I'm going to close with this. When he was first learning these principles, the principle of God's multiplication, that he was a traveling evangelist and not making very much money. He would go from church to church and basically living from paycheck to paycheck. And he was in one particular church. He was young. I think he was still in his 20s or early 30s. And the pastor, he had a great service. And he looked at the offering at the end of the service, and it was enough to cover his next month's expenses. And so he was so happy. I think it says at that time they were living on $700 a month. Imagine living on $700. That's not a lot, especially in these times. And so after the service, everything was great, and he was so excited. He got his check, and he said to his wife, "You know, we're covered for the next month." And just like that, the Lord speaks to him and says to him, "You see that visiting missionary that came to visit and told about his mission project? I want you to give the entire check to that missionary." And of course, he shakes the thought off, and, you know, I rebuke that thought right now and says, "That can't be God. You know, get behind me, Satan," you know. But God insisted. God insisted. He said, "No, it's me. I want you to give that entire check to that missionary." And after wrestling with God for a little while, he obeyed. And he gave the missionary. He said, "Don't say anything. God told me to do this. Just be quiet. Take it." And he gave him his whole month's worth of salary. Afterwards, they were out eating dinner at a pizza place. And there was a gentleman who he had met just one time before, and he came up to Pastor Morris and he said, "Can you show me the check that you received for the offering?" And Pastor Morris thought, "That's kind of nervy. That's none of your business. I want to see the check that you received for the offering." He says, "Well, I don't have it with me." And he was actually fudging because he had given it away and he didn't want anybody to know. And then he said, "No, it's out in the car." First he said, "My wife has it." Then he said, "It's out in the car." And the man said, finally turned to him and said, "I know it's not out in the car. I know your wife doesn't have it. I know what you've done." This was a man who was operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit prophetically. He says, "God showed me that what's happening in your life, God is teaching you about the blessing of living under the protection of God, how to live a life to unlock all of the resources of heaven. You're learning this right now. This is your sort of like embryonic or early stage. And God is going to use you to teach the body of Christ about how to live in a generous way, how to live generously." And he handed Pastor Morris a check. And when he opened the check, it was 10 times the amount of what the offering was. This happened to him a number of times. It happened to him again at a conference. He was at a pastor's conference, thousands of people. He was up in the balcony, and they didn't have much money, and the Lord spoke to him at the time of the offering, and the Lord says to him, "I want you to give $1,000. And he's like, "Lord, we don't have that much to live on. I want you to give $1,000. The key here is listening to God, because you don't want to do this recklessly or presumptuously. You know, go home and, you know, tell your wife, you know, "I just drained the bank account and gave all our money away." You know, you better make sure you hear from God. Amen. And this is something you learn gradually. It's over a period of time, you get better and better at your sensitivity to the voice of God. Amen. So he said, "No, this is you, God." So he takes out a check for $1,000 and he puts it up and he says, "Lord, I'm offering this to you." Put it over his head. He said, "God, symbolically, Lord, I'm putting you first. You are high and lifted up, Lord. You deserve the first place in my finances." Put in the $1,000. After the service, a man comes finding him in the lobby and he hands him a check. And he says, "What's this?" He said, "The Lord spoke to me while we were doing the offering, and the Lord spoke to me." This is the man down on the floor. Pastor Morris was up in the balcony. And the Lord said to this man who was down on the floor, "I want you to turn around and look. There's a man up at the balcony putting a check over his head. I want you to go and give that man a $10,000 check." And that is exactly what happened. He gave Pastor Morris exactly 10 times the amount of what he did in obedience to Christ. So this is something we need to cultivate. We need to understand that God can multiply when we give to him in obedience and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. This is not like gambling. You know what I'm saying? You got to get this right. Your heart has to be right. You're not saying, "Okay, God, let's make a deal. I'll give you $100, you give me $1,000. I'll give you $1,000, you give me $10,000. You got to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and you got to be listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. But sure enough, as you obey the Lord and you put him first, he can multiply your seed. In Corinthians, it says that God is faithful to multiply your storehouse of seeds. Notice he calls what we have seeds. Seeds are meant to be planted. What we have belongs to him. God is first. We are stewards. We put him first. And God can multiply everything that we have when you obey him. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back. We're going to say a prayer, and then we're going to close with a great song of faith, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Just bow your heads with me for a moment, please. Lord, if there's somebody watching even right now, Lord, for the first time, and they've listened to this message and there's a connection, Lord, they sense that you might be speaking to them through this message, I pray that their hearts, Lord, will be open in these next few minutes to listen to the voice of God, to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me right now. I'm going to ask you to pray a simple prayer. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven, but you would like to begin a relationship with Christ. You'd like to take a step of faith and say, God, if you're really there, if Jesus, you really did die for my sins, you really did rise again on the third day, I want to start to know you. I want to put my life under your protection, under your blessing. Just say the simple prayer from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you right now. I ask you in faith, Lord, to come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be the center of my life. I recognize that you are the Son of God, that you came into this world to take away my sins. You died on Calvary's cross. You shed your precious blood as an atonement for my sins. Your life and your blood is the only remedy for my sins. I put my hope in you today. I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Live your life inside of me, Lord Jesus. By your Holy Spirit, live in me, Lord. I rededicate my life to you. Be the Lord. Be in the driver's seat, Lord. I want you to be high and lifted up. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I put you first with my children, with my relationships, my priorities, my finance, in every area of my life. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put you first from this day forward, in Jesus' name.
We're just a few people that came because we wanted to minister to you. And Matthew, you could play softly. You could play softly. You know, I got to tell you, we feel the presence of God in this place just as strong as we do on a regular Sunday morning, because there's no distance in prayer. And you know, God allowed this recording today for a purpose for you. For you that are watching and felt isolated and locked in your home, and you didn't know, you were crying out to God, but you were despondent. And God heard your prayer, and he's speaking to you today. And he's saying, I see you. I hear your prayer. I know where you're at. Trust him with your life. I pray that you will accept Jesus as your personal Savior, because his presence is real. What we're feeling in this building today, what you're feeling on Facebook, it's not man-made. It's supernatural. It is supernatural power of God that is here, that is in my life, that is in these precious people's life, but he wants to work in your life. Hallelujah. And we're going to just dismiss in prayer. We thank you for Jimmy and all the worship team and Lonrie and every one of you, Matthew, for helping us with worship. Every one of you, thank you. But I want to pray. And I believe this could be a moment of breaking chains in your life, of breaking lies of the enemy over your life. And Lord, we just feel your presence. We feel like you are reaching out beyond this Facebook and beyond this building. And you are hearing people's cries of loneliness, despair, isolation, fear, and worry. Lord, we feel your presence comforting us and bringing us closer to Jesus in these hard times. Lord, we pray that we may not listen to the voice of the enemy and draw away from you, but Lord, instead, we will draw closer to you, that every day we will listen to your voice and welcome your Holy Spirit and read your word, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.